I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello?
Hello, everyone. I'm Estée Lalonde, and welcome to On the Line. We're getting closer and closer to Christmas, and boy, am I getting excited. Joining me today is the queen of all things spiritual wellness, the glorious Jasmine Hemsley. For those of you who are not familiar with today's guest, Jasmine Hemsley is a best-selling author, well-being expert, and co-founder of Hemsley & Hemsley. Jasmine's latest concept is East by West, an idea that came to life as a pop-up cafe inspired by her travels in Sri Lanka and India. East by West realizes Jasmine's vision of Ayurvedic cuisine and wisdom. East by West, the cookbook, launched in November 2017, delving further into Jasmine's passion for holistic Eastern foods and therapies, and which has since become an Amazon bestseller and winner of Women's Health Wellbeing Book of the Year Award.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, Estée.
Thank you for being here.
I love that you do hand movements while you're talking.
Yeah, no one sees that. I am such a hand talker. So surely you're the world's busiest Zen woman in the world.
There's lots of busy. There's not a lot of Zen, but Zen is my intention. Zen is my focus. Zen is what I need to balance myself.
Okay, so I just kind of want to tell people how we met. We met, if you don't remember, at your cafe.
Mm-hmm. Which was how long ago?
That was so long ago.
2 years?
But I haven't really seen you since then. And I feel like I know who you are, but I don't really know who you are.
Okay.
So for people listening, I would love you to introduce yourself.
My name is Jasmine Hemsley. I used to live very close to Estée until recently. I don't know how to introduce myself. I work in kind of well-being, starting off about 10 years ago or so, cooking for private clients. Everything around that journey has been a kind of a slow move. I never dreamt that I would do it or decided to do it. It was just that I had this interest for a long time in health and wellness before I even knew what that term really meant. And so it's kind of like my interest has become my career, if you like.
So were you always into cooking or?
Yes and no. Like I laugh because I prefer it when someone else cooks, quite frankly.
Really?
Yeah. But I love good food. I love to eat out. For me, you know, I have the mum of one of my best friends when I was growing up. She always said, Jasmine doesn't describe a place by what it looks like or what it does or what, it, you know, it's always by the food. I always remember the food. And I think it comes from, you know, I'd say my mum and dad, they traveled a lot. My mum's Filipino, my dad's English Army. So they've been between them to many different countries. And they also love food. And I think food is that story. It's extremely nostalgic for me. And although it sounds really romantic when I kind of talk about it, it's just that I grew up on home cooked food. My mother worked full time. My dad worked full time. But my mum put food on the table, usually in a hurry.
Yeah.
And I'm from then I learned to be resourceful, and that when I wanted a certain flavor or wanted to eat a certain way, I had to do it myself.
Yeah.
Because when I was growing up, you couldn't just suddenly go, oh, you know what? I fancy trying some Mexican, or I fancy this tonight. There just wasn't eateries, if you like. There were kind of posh French restaurants, or there was fish and chips or your local greasy spoon, as we say, mm-hmm. like, you know, an English fry up.
Yeah.
So yeah, I kind of learned to cook quite early, from 9 actually.
Well, you might be shocked to find out that I do not cook. I don't know how to cook anything.
I know so many people that also don't know how to cook.
I hate it. Yeah? I really want to learn how to cook, and I've been saying it for years, but I am 28 now and it's actually getting embarrassing to me that I can't cook. So I have obviously your cookbooks, plural. How many cookbooks do you have these
three.
Days?
I have okay. three. Two as part of Hemsley & Hemsley,
yeah.
and one which I brought out just almost a year to date, called East by West, which is about Ayurvedic food. But just on that point, I mean, I think nowadays when everybody, you know, we talk about food and foodies, and we're very, you know, we both live in London. It's very cultural. You can try all different kinds of cuisines and fusions. And I think that puts a lot of people off, because one, you can kind of go and get it. And two, you just don't want to mess up.
Yeah.
But you have to mess up a few times. And I reckon if you can just nail a couple of recipes in your repertoire and just feed yourself kind of day to day, then you can build on that and you can feel really confident. But don't think, oh, I don't have the gene. It's
okay.
just always experience and got to get going.
Well, that's really good to know. And I feel like people do really know you for the food stuff, and they can research that on their own time if they've never, you know, seen your site or seen your books or anything. I really want to talk about the wellness side of you, because actually last night on your Instagram, you posted something about a sound bath.
Oh, yes.
And I want to come, by the way.
Absolutely.
And I was like, I just want to learn more about that from you. And when did you start getting into that side of things?
That's a really good question. So I guess I got into the well-being world firstly via food. And I was, you know, I love that saying, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach, because food is really a way in. We eat 3 times a day. Food is something you share, that we talk about, that we're passionate about. So that was how I got into well-being. But I soon realized very early on, it's not the be-all and end-all.
Okay.
And over time, I've realized if you eat, you know, the best meal or best by whatever your standards are or whatever you consider to be healthy, in a stressed out state, with lack of awareness, without chewing properly, even feeling angry or upset, it doesn't become what you think it will inside your body. So there's a lot more that goes with well-being. And well-being is this lovely 360 approach that's completely fluid and moving and completely different for you and I at any one time. And rather than that being complicated, because I know people might think, oh, I just want some rules, just give me 3 facts or something. Actually, it makes life better, because you're not having to be so rigid. It's not that something's good or bad. It's just, does it suit you right now? Or, you know, okay, you made that choice, so stick by that choice and enjoy that choice. And then see what you need for the next choice. So for me, it kind of opens doors. It gives you a much more romantic way of approaching your life, and a lot more of an intuitive way, I think, because we know that nutritional science, which is only a few hundred years old, it keeps changing. So in our lifetime, we've gone from fat being really bad for you and then very carbohydrate conscious and then into these superfoods and then sugar is really bad. And, you know, all these things are kind of, they're trends to build an awareness, but you have to understand it's just part of the bigger picture. So while I, you know, I will never kind of talk a trend down, because it's a way of us learning. If we didn't talk about trends, there'd be nothing to talk about. But I just would love everyone to realize it's just part of a bigger picture.
Okay. So to people listening to this, they might be thinking, I have no idea what she's talking about.
That's usual. I'll go around the houses.
With this wellness and all of this romantic approach to life, mm-hmm. whatever you're saying. Mm-hmm. Are people looking for just those three tips? Like, I literally have a question here that I was going to ask you. Like, what are three things someone can do every day to bring mindfulness into their lives? Because I think so many people, like, I'm just thinking about my mom, for instance. Mm-hmm. She's just quite far from that. Yeah. No offense, mom, but it's just not really her thing.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people are like, well, what can I do practically? But I have been experiencing, and I'm sure it's the same for you, is it's a slow progression to your approach to life. And you do want to enjoy these little things. And you, like, I personally go to yoga, you know, and I have started doing that. And I started doing that a few times a week. And then I started doing things like the sound bath.
Yes.
You know, you slowly get into Absolutely. These things. It's not like you wake up one day and then you meditate for 5 minutes. Like, it's an exploration. Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely an exploration. That's how I did it. I didn't just suddenly hit a button and go, oh, I'm into wellness and well-being. It was via people I met who inspired me. It was being curious. It was about being playful about life. Things that didn't really make sense to me, I kind of went with an open mind. Wasn't really digging it. That's okay. I'll step back and I'll wait for the next time an opportunity comes. So on a practical note, you know, when you're asking about being mindful, I mean, that already is quite a strange one for people, because they think, what do you mean being mindful? What do you mean being in the moment? I've got things to do. I can't hang around. People think being in the moment is the luxury of just lying around, looking out the window and daydreaming. And one, that is super important, mm-hmm. really important. But two, being mindful is actually having an awareness in your present moment. So for example, when I grew up, you know, we were always taught, be plan, think, sort this out in your head. And so that's that kind of monkey mind of ours that goes on and on and on, you know, going through our to-do lists, going through 5 conversations we had yesterday, then going through them again an hour later. You know, that constant chit-chat in your mind. That's very necessary, but we don't want it to be our entire experience of life. So how to be mindful is a way to kind of bring that in is cooking. And even simpler than cooking, for those that don't cook, is actually just making a cup of tea. So if you look at traditional cultures around the world, especially in the East, people can think of a Japanese or a Chinese tea ceremony. It was done in a particular way, and it's almost like its own meditation, because the ritual of tea making, of making sure the water is at the right temperature, of selecting which tea you want, and that tea can completely depend on your mood and can add an enhancing effect to your day, to allowing it to steep for the certain amount of time, you know, a little bit more for a robust tea, a little less for a delicate tea, then allowing it to come to the right temperature, inhaling it, smelling it, you know, using all your senses, and then sipping it slowly and tasting it. It sounds like it's going to take a lot of time, but actually you almost do it at the same amount of time. You're just there and you're just more present. For me, it really worked with washing up, and I have to do a lot of washing up with what I do, and I don't like it. I'm not going to lie. I would always do it very efficiently. In time, I realized I was being very efficient, but my nervous system was really taking a hammering, and I'd feel myself quite caught in my breath, and I became very aware of that. So I thought, you know what? What if doing the dishes was the most lovely thing that you could possibly do? And so I just became more considerate. I wasn't slower. I get my dishes done maybe takes a fraction longer. But suddenly I actually relax and I enjoy it and I'm there and I'm present, rather than wishing it wasn't there and jumping to the thing or sorting something out in my head. Yeah, that's one way you can become more mindful. So you bring it into the way you eat as well. So sitting down to have a meal wherever possible, not being on your phone or sending an email, not having an overly sensation heightening conversation, i.e. having an argument with someone or debating something or getting caught up in their story of their life, just actually tasting and chewing the food that eventually becomes you. So,
whoa,
I know.
The food that eventually becomes you.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So, I mean, if I was thinking about me listening to this 10, 15 years ago, I'd be like, what? I haven't got time for that. That sounds crazy. But we all need more of this. And this is what the sound bath is giving you. This is what yoga is giving you. Because in the West, we valued something that we call this yang energy, this very masculine, doing, productive energy. You know, we really love people who produce work, who are on it, right? Who turn up, who are on time, who can get a lot done in the day. The ones that never seem to switch off because they just deliver, right? So we really value that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't value sitting on the sofa, breathing,
yeah,
being,
yeah,
staring at the stars. If we stare at the stars, we want to take a picture of the stars, you know? Yeah. And so what we are starting to see in the West is we realize we've got it all. We've got the home, we've got the car, maybe we've got this, we've got that. We can go out and buy this and that. And we just don't feel happy because half of us, if we're yin and yang is, you know, an equal split, is not being fulfilled. So to be present, to be aware of your breath, aware of all the senses of your body, so not just sight, which we overuse, but smell, taste, touch, sound, we can actually start working on something which we can call our sixth sense, which is that more intuitive sense of using all the senses, mm-hmm, without having to be a thought process. Does that make sense?
It makes sense to me. I hope it makes sense to the people listening as well. And I guess my question is this something that you've mastered or is this something you work on every day?
No. I don't think a monk will even tell you that he's mastered this.
Mm-hmm.
But this is something I think that we have to work even harder on, because if they were meditating thousands of years ago because they realized, you know, the human, the mind, the ego was just this monkey mind, imagine now when we are so distracted by technology, when we are, you know, in conversation with tens, hundreds, thousands of people a day, when we can travel so easily and so often now, there's a lot of things going on. And living in a city, we've already bombarded with sounds, smells, sensations, sights all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we need to value not just sleep, which has gone downhill, I'd say, lately for a lot of people because of overstimulation and always wanting to be doing stuff, but also that rest is different to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And having time to just be and sit with yourself and being comfortable to sit with yourself.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time I used the word bored.
Right.
And when I was a kid, I was like, oh, I'm so bored, Mom, you know, when you're looking for like some adventure. But you're in your garden for the holidays for like 3 months. I can't remember the last time I was bored. And and that's something I think we want to be able to experience, because from boredom comes incredible creativity.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all very true what you're saying. And I think even sometimes if I'm just at home reading a book, there's something in me that's like, I should be and doing, could be doing more.
Yes. I could be listening to an audiobook while doing the ironing.
Or listening to a podcast.
Exactly. So we always feel like we need to be. I feel like we're in a information overloaded state. And information is wonderful. Knowledge is power. But we have to have time to process and digest that information. Otherwise, it's not really going in, or it's not really being put to use. So, for example, in Ayurveda, which is what I wrote my last book about.
I want to talk about that.
Okay.
What is it?
Okay. So in a nutshell, if there is a nutshell, Ayurveda is the science or knowledge of life. So it directly translates as life knowledge. It originated in India some 3,000 to 5,000 years ago. And it's from a Vedic civilization that was very, very advanced. It also has the same roots as yoga. And yoga, as we know it, is the kind of the postures, right? The workout.
Mm-hmm.
Yoga is actually means the yoking or the union of mind, body, and spirit. And so to be a yogi is actually to put the knowledge of life into your everyday. So an example of this would be, so Ayurveda has this holistic approach and it's all about the balance of mind, body, spirit. So in the West, we've always been about physical. What's your physical health? How many sit-ups can you do? What do you look like? How big are your muscles? How small is your waist? You know, how's your skin? That's how we rated health, right? But we never thought about kind of mental health or spiritual health. And lately, I think you'll agree, we're hearing so much more about these. because we realize we're just imbalanced without it.
We're all about to crack.
Yep, exactly. So we've just become these productive machines, doing, but we're super reactive. You know, we take on all this information, but we don't have time to digest it. So a way I explain it is, we're basically developing layers and layers of cruddy information that we never get time to kind of really digest and decide what we want to keep and what we don't want to keep. You know, we're very much of a world where it's, oh, get over it, or pull your socks up and forget about it. And sometimes when we forget about it, we actually stick it further into our bodies. Does that make sense?
Yep.
And so an example of this, if anyone who thinks they're over something because their rational mind says, oh, don't be so silly, you know, of course your mum loves you, or, you know, your teacher's just saying that because of X, Y, and Z, or, you know, those examples. So you kind of push them under the carpet. And then one day someone says something to you and you burst into tears.
Yep.
And you feel like that was really embarrassing because that kind of came from nowhere, but actually came from deep within you, and someone just let it out.
Mm-hmm. So are you a fan of therapy?
I guess I don't really call it therapy, but they are therapies. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So I think of it more as someone holding space for you, or you holding space for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So time to just be.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes being can be a little bit uncomfortable or very uncomfortable. So, you know, I think if anyone's going through a busy time in their life and they suddenly have 5 minutes, their mind starts racing, or they start picking themselves apart, or they start feeling very unhappy about their world. I don't know if you can kind of relate to that. Mm-hmm. And it's usually because we have got so much of this crud going on around us that we can't see the wood for the trees, if you like.
Yeah.
So the sound baths are sound therapy, but they're really a very quiet space to nurture your yin energy.
Okay.
So that feminine, grounded, slow energy, that cool energy, as opposed to that yang, productive, fiery, doing energy. So people come in and they're attracted either because it's a new thing, so they're curious, or because they're like, I get to lie down for an hour. Which I find quite funny, because it's like you pay to lie down for an hour. Can you imagine if you told your grandma, I'm just going to a session. I'm going to just pay to lie down. You know, it sounds crazy. And then they because I play these crystal alchemy singing bowls, there's crystal therapy because they're made of crystals, mm-hmm. and color therapy because they're very colorful and each one's unique. And then you have also this kind of group experience, a group meditation, where the energy of people kind of meditating completely in a passive way, they don't even know they're meditating together, is very, very strong.
Yeah.
And so sometimes, you know, you might get someone who starts crying and the whole room starts crying. Doesn't happen often because we're all very reserved, and if we feel it coming, we try to keep it in. You get someone who snores, the whole room starts snoring, and you become this one big organism, if you like. And it's quite incredible to watch. But basically, you come out, whatever your experience is during the sound bath, usually it's quite blissful because people are knackered. But for people who come often, it can start becoming uncomfortable simply because some of their old stuff is coming out.
Yeah.
But it's the afterwards. That's what you're aiming for. That's that feeling of being very grounded, very in your body, and very, I'm here, I'm in the now.
I mean, speaking of crying in a class, I remember when I was going through a particularly tough time in my life, and it was only my third ever yoga class, and I just started sobbing.
Yeah.
And it was like a flow class. And it's really amazing how when you aren't surrounded by your music and your phone,
distractions,
all these things,
all the things that you do to take yourself away from you,
the things that come up. And I think the group environment is so comforting.
Yes.
I love that's why I like to go to yoga classes.
Yes. And also those postures are designed, you know, we keep a lot of tension in our hips. We don't, our postures nowadays, especially women, you know, we're not taught to kind of stand up straight because it kind of sticks our bust out and it can seem very, you know, in your face. That's our heart opener. So when we do a lot of heart openers or hip openers or back openers, all that, you know, all your experiences that haven't been processed properly, and this, and hear me out on this, because for me, this is very normal to talk about, but I can imagine people going, what are you talking about? Your experiences are caught in your cells or in your body somewhere. So as you begin to expand and create space in your body, these things are able to come out, be digested, and they, you process them, and that they come up back into your memory. Maybe You know, I once had an experience where I remember being made fun of as 6 years old in a playground. And my rational self had put that to bed a long time ago. Don't be silly. They were six. You were six. Get over it. It was years ago. And it was, they were kids, you know. And it came up and it was so real. And I was back there and I kind of cried for my little self for like 2 seconds, gone.
Wow.
And I was more in shock that it even come up.
Yeah.
And that must have been sitting me for 30 odd years, you know.
Yeah.
So, in these classes, we get a chance to be. And our grandparents might not have done this, but imagine they had so much more time, you know, unwittingly to be. Because if you wanted to read a book, you had to go to the library. You had to sign up for it. You had to wait 2 weeks for it. If you wanted to post a letter, you had to write the letter.
Yeah.
How many of us can even write a letter these days? Then you had to go and get the stamp and go to the post office and wait for them to receive it and wait for them to write back. Everything was slower, so much slower. And the irony is we have time savers and we try to, you know, time saving devices that make our lives easier. And yet we're time poor and we're quite stressed out.
So how can you live a less stressed out life in this world? Mm. Is it possible? Are you living it? You seem pretty chill.
I have my moments.
Yeah.
I have my moments. Meditation is a huge one to help me to process and digest my experiences. But I'm not going to lie. I fall off the wagon quite often because it's a busy city.
Yeah.
My mind that's constantly trying to problem solve will tell me, Jasmine, but you've got to get this deadline in, then you can meditate tomorrow. You know, this is important. Get through this. Also, what you find is once you start meditating for a while, you actually feel so good. You almost feel invincible.
Yeah.
And so the little meditation goes out the window. You're like, I still feel fine.
Yeah.
Another one goes out the window. I'm still feel fine. 3 days in, you're suddenly like, oh.
Well, that's,
I feel cranky.
It reminds me because I've spoken a lot about my mental health and I take medication for it, which I'm trying to get off of through things like meditation, etc. But it's so similar because you start to feel so good.
Yes.
You think, I've never felt better.
Yeah.
And then you get off the medication and a couple days go by, you're still feeling awesome. And then one day you're bang. Like, oh God.
Yes, here it is. Yeah. Here it is. So, face to face again.
Yeah. So I guess it really is keeping that routine, but it is hard when you start to feel really good. In other news, I saw you posted on Instagram the other day about the meaning of life or something like that. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh gosh, did I? Yeah. Remind me more.
Tell me what you think the meaning of life is, because I used to have drawn on my windows. I always ask people what's it all for, and hearing people's answers is always so interesting to me.
Do you know what? I've been speaking to a good friend of mine, M&A, who's also into Ayurveda. And we're both having a what's it all about thing going on. And I think it's very much what winter brings, actually. Winter is a time for reflection and hibernation. I don't love it not being light.
Same.
I bloom in the spring and summer.
Yep.
My skin, my energy levels, my creativity, everything. As winter comes, I feel more and more begrudging of even having to leave the house.
Yep.
And then I start questioning, like, what is the point? And also it's that kind of weird end of the year. What have I done with this year?
Yeah.
And that feeling of what's next year going to hold for me? So what is the meaning of life? I kind of feel like what I want it to be about and what I try for it to be about is to playfully express myself and to get comfortable with myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that if you can be, you are so much more used to others. So I think it's quite a thing to always be giving to people and to feel like you should be giving.
Yeah.
But I really believe if you don't learn to love yourself and give to yourself, then it's not unconditional love that you're giving to others. And even as I say that, I find that actually quite hard because, you know, for anyone who's ever tried looking in the mirror and telling themselves they love themselves, it's really, really hard,
weird.
Right?
Yeah.
It is weird and it's hard. And it can feel a bit hippie and can be very emotional.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, I feel like we are in the age of Aquarius. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
Yeah, I have.
And
I have a lot of Aquarius in my chart.
Do you?
I do.
I'm an Aquarian.
Oh, amazing.
I'm an Aquarian.
I'm a Leo.
Are you? My mom's a Leo.
The best.
Oh no, my mom's a Scorpio.
Okay.
No, is that August? Which one's August?
August, yeah, Leo.
My mom's a Leo. She is a lion. Yeah, a lot of my houses are in Aquarius and in Virgo, which mm-hmm. are basically so opposite that I am totally torn apart by the detail or the bigger picture.
Wow.
I jump from one to the other all the time. I don't know much about astrology, but I totally embrace it because I believe that it's another way of looking at the world that is ancient, mm-hmm. you know? And I've met quite a few people who've come from scientific backgrounds who mocked astrology and then went into it because they're like, to try and disprove it, and were completely like enamored by it. And there's lots of different types of astrology. And every time I've gone to see different people from different schools, let's say Kabbalah, Ayurvedic, which is called Jyotish, or Western astrology, they all come to the same conclusion. And for me, Ayurveda, which is this holistic health system, well-being system from India, is very similar to traditional Chinese medicine from China, to Tibetan medicine, to Nepalese medicine. It's basically a language of understanding that you are nature, you are of nature, and therefore it makes sense that your environment totally affects you and you affect your environment. So we're constantly in play together. Like if I hung out with you for another week, I'd probably have your accent. I'm not joking, because that's something that I tend to do. I tend to kind of mimic people mm-hmm. or like take on their accent. Some people just don't do that, but that's an effect that you would maybe have on me mm-hmm. or you would inspire me to do stuff, or I would inspire you to do stuff, or you'd see something in me that you're like, oh, I don't like that about her. Oh, crap, I do that too, you know? So we would, there's always an exchange going on all the time. We could be sitting right here on this couch and your experience of this is going to be completely different to my experience of this. And when we see each other again, whenever that might be, your memory of this will be certainly different to mine. I'll think of key things and you'll think of key things. So it's, Ayurveda helps us understand that we are individuals, but we are also the same, which is really nice. We are our environment. So the things I've been talking today to you about, if you read my book or if you get into it, it becomes as intuitive as, oh, I'm quite hot, I take my jumper off. You don't actually think about that thought process. It just happens, right?
Yeah.
Or I'm a bit cold, and then you put the kettle on. You don't think about that process. Yeah. That's how romantic and intuitive looking after yourself can be.
Yeah.
And I think knowledge is power. So I just urge anybody who wants to find out more about these things to keep an open mind about stuff, and also not to fixate on anything, because I think we're all looking for the club that's going to deliver mm-hmm. and no one's going to deliver. Only we are going to deliver.
Right.
So we have to be very gentle with ourselves and very compassionate with ourselves. And from there, we can be totally compassionate of others.
I do really love your point of just keeping an open mind, because it is just so, it actually doesn't bother me when people try to say, well, that's just absolutely crazy. Mm-hmm. Like I actually, it's okay. I kind of feel sad about it, because it's like, it might not be for you, but mm-hmm. just be open.
Totally.
You know, and what is so bad about looking at something from a different vantage point?
Absolutely. And, you know, for example, like Estee, you've got a massive community, and from how you go about your day to day, if somebody comes up and challenges you or is rude to you, when you're having a good day, how does it feel? It's kind of like
water off a
duck's back, right? When you're having a bad day, how does it feel?
Oh my God, it's the most annoying thing ever.
Isn't it? And it goes round and round your head, and you spend hours concocting an email reply or a witty reply on Instagram or something, you know? And then you think, oh, I'm over it. And then you get into bed, and there it comes again, round and round.
I should have said that.
Why did I say that? And what are they coming from? And what do they mean by that exactly? And I wish they'd just get to their point. You know, I really think now is the time. And also it's exciting that it's coming. You know, we, as much as the 80s, 90s and noughties had been this kind of work hard, play hard, you know, sleep when you're dead, step on other people to get to where you need to go, you know, be number one. I think we've seen it in action, and we're like, I think there's a little bit more to life than that.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't want to be exhausted. I don't want to feel tired. I don't want to feel uninspired. I want to feel satisfied and content. So, you know, I think that's what we're all chasing at the end of it. But on a different note, I need to talk about your fashion.
Oh,
because I think it's just as important as wellness because your fashion sense is ridiculously cool.
Oh my God, I want that writing.
Oh my gosh, you pair like so many cool patterns and textures. And was that something that you always loved, or did you just kind of find that flair? Do you work with a stylist, or how do you look like this?
Thank you. You've just made my day. So I have a design background. Mm-hmm. I'd studied art and design when I was young, and I went on to do furniture and product design. And I worked as a model for about 10, 15 years. Not really a fashion model, more of a commercial model, but obviously fashion comes into it every now and again. I am a magpie for stuff. Like, I love your apartment. And it's funny that I, you know, remembered the vase that we both have straight away. I honestly am a sucker for texture, pattern.
I love it too.
I am a massive thrift shopper. What I mean by that, actually, for everyone who's English, is I go to charity shops and car boots. Yeah. and then the occasional vintage shop. I just love color. I love people's personalities. I think, you know, often I'll see, you know, that's what I love about being a woman as well, because I feel like we've got more chance to play with this stuff.
Yeah.
And I'll see something on someone and I'll want to experiment with that, or it'll bring back a memory, or I've traveled a lot, so I love to have those things in my apartment. And I have really been exploring sustainable fashion.
Yeah,
which has been, which has been cool, because it was really limiting for a long time. And so that's why I kind of stuck with the charity and the thrift. But over time, there's been some fantastic designers, and that pool is getting bigger and bigger to play with. But I also love, you know, to support great design, and not everybody has got the resources to be able to produce things under an ethical banner, or they don't want to call attention to what they're doing because people then call you out on it.
Yeah.
So I love to just kind of champion lots of different things.
Yeah.
And be experimental, and I borrow a lot of things, especially from my best friends. We kind of keep everything moving around between us. And yeah, I think it was probably a massive, it was to balance out the fact that I had to wear my cousin's hand-me-downs for the first 12 years of my life. And they were shorter than me, Mom. They may have been older than me, but they were shorter than
me. Come on, Mom. Well, I loved what you said about borrowing your friends' clothes and stuff, because my friends and I do that all the time. And it's so fun. And this podcast is called On the Line. So I need to ask you, if you could only save three contacts, that's not including your closest family members, who would you save in your phone?
Oh my goodness.
Who's your best friend?
Oh, so they can be best friends.
They can be best friends, but not like your mom and your, you know, partner.
We're going to start fights now amongst my friends.
No, you're not.
Okay. So three people that immediately came to mind. One is Gary Gorrow.
Okay.
So he is my friend who is way too far away from me. He lives in Byron in Australia. In Byron Bay, and he was the guy that taught me to meditate.
Okay.
So I learned Vedic meditation 10 years ago for my 30th birthday. I'm 39 soon. It's about nine years ago.
You wouldn't
for my
believe
30th
it, guys.
Birthday.
You wouldn't believe it.
In Australia, in Sydney, on Bondi Beach, when I was having a whole, oh my goodness, what is it all about moment. I think it was recession back in the UK. The pound was worth nothing in Australia. And Gary came to me via so many people. I just kept on reading the clues, and suddenly I found myself meditating with this guy, and my other half, Nick, as well. And he's been a huge life changer for me. Number two is Susie Pearl, who lives in Ibiza. She has been a fantastic mentor for me over the last 9 years. She's like a big sister. And she came from a PR background, and she's kind of mad in that she's like, don't look at the numbers, Jasmine. Don't look at the figures. Just go by how you feel.
Yeah.
So she taught me to feel rather than overanalyze and process things. And then another one is my best friend, Chanel, who lives very close to here. And so we were 5 minutes down the road from each other. And I'm currently on a massive campaign to make her move out to where I am now.
Oh, how's that going?
It's going well. I keep inviting her down every week and going, look at this great park. And we can go here and have coffee. And yeah, so it's working bit by bit.
Well, back to your contact number two. I'm dying to go to Ibiza. I've never been.
Estee, it's amazing.
But I'm like, so I've recently got into partying, which is so opposite to what you're saying. But do you party? Like, do you like to?
I did do the partying from about the first time I ever went to Ibiza. I was actually 19 and I was on my way to Formentera, which is the island next door to it. And I happened to stop by Ibiza one night, and I remember being in San Antonio, which is a notorious part where everything is an Irish pub and an English fry up. And I remember going, oh God, this is awful. I'm never coming back here again. And then I went 6 years later with another best friend called Ivana, who now lives there. And we had the best summer, and then the best summer the next year, and the best summer the next year.
Wow.
And then we did it for a few summers. And then we got into the very alternative side of the island, because they do the extremes there. So you can party hard, and then you can get really down into the spiritual stuff. Yeah. So it's a very, there's incredible ley lines that run underneath Ibiza. So that's what they say kind of attracts this incredible energy. And you can have everything from kind of, oh goodness, just healers come and visit the island for the energy. You can get them to work with them. You can eat incredible food. There's a huge local organic movement there in Ibiza. I was just there at the Amorvor Festival in October. And yeah, if anyone hasn't been, go north of the island and go and explore.
Okay. I definitely need to get out there this summer. And so we know your contacts, and I want to know if you could only follow three people on Instagram, who they would be. Who are your faves?
Oh my goodness. I think they're probably like dog ones, you know, like my dog does this.
My dog does
this. I'm just laughing because a minute ago I kind of went, and Reggie's head shot up behind you. And one of my dog, Julie, does that. And he looked like a seal. He kind of got up, looked around, and went back down again.
I know. They're so stressed out, aren't they? Okay, so you're following dog accounts. Fine.
Yes.
So we also have some questions that people have sent in. So,
cool.
So the first question is from Emma. And she says, hi, Estee. Hey, Jasmine. I am a 20-year-old student. And I was just wondering if you had any tips for cooking and eating healthy on a budget while at uni. Mm-hmm. Is it more expensive to cook in a more healthy way?
Yes and no. Yes, if you want to go down the green smoothie super powder route, but actually the healthiest way to eat, and the more I'm understanding is this, is looking after your digestion. Yes, wholesome food is possible, and we kind of know what that is. I don't really even need to detail that too much, but it's more about how easy is it to digest. So cooked food is really good for us, and I know that's quite going against what some people's idea might be, that raw has got all this incredible nutrients, which it does. It totally does. But can you actually access it is the question. When food has been cooked and broken down, it's so much easier to access. That's why we cook food for babies and for elderly and for people who are sick. If you're stressed, eat cooked food. When I was at university, I was stressed. One thing I did when I was there was my friends and I in the same, you know, house share, we cooked for each other. That meant that one night a week or two nights a week you cooked only.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
It was a really good idea. And also when you kind of buy a bit more in bulk, it's a bit more affordable. My other tip would be get a slow cooker.
Yes, I've been hearing so many things about these slow cookers.
Yeah.
My mom, that's the only thing she cooks in.
Do you call it a crock pot?
Yes.
Yes. It's a crock.
It's a crock pot.
A crock pot or a slow cooker. So this is a really brilliant, it's you basically leave the cooker on while you're out or while you're sleeping. I think it uses less electricity than a light bulb. It's very safe. And when you slow cook food, you break it down slowly while preserving as many of the nutrients as possible. It also means you come home to a hot dinner. And most of us, most of the time, opt for takeaways because we just want a hot dinner.
Yeah.
So if you put something on, like I really, you know, I love dals. I love something called kachari, which is almost like an Ayurvedic risotto of dal and basmati rice. And then I just put my favorite seasonal vegetables in there. So basically what you find in abundance. So right now it'd be all the root vegetables because there's no more green really on the surface. And that's a way of you staying seasonal. When you eat seasonal, believe it or not, you're actually usually saving money because that's what's abundant. It also means you're in touch with your environment. It's a connection. And three, it's probably what suits you because, winter is this time of hunkering down and getting rooted and hibernating. And that's why we love sweet potato and parsnip and carrot and beetroot at this time of year.
Well, I mean, there are so many different approaches to food and what we should be eating, like you said about the raw food.
Yeah.
And one thing that I always loved about you and everything that you kind of talk about in your cafe and stuff was that it just seems like normal, real food.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like a it doesn't feel like a fad. It doesn't feel like a trend. And I really like that. So I just wanted to bring up that point. And
thank you. Yeah.
I mean, how do you stand hearing about all these different trends and stuff like that? You must get hammered constantly about, like, you know, this isn't right or that's not right. Because if I even take a picture of what I'm eating,
yeah,
the comments are, you shouldn't be eating this or you should be eating that.
Yeah.
It drives me insane.
It's interesting. Basically, everyone will come from different schools of thought. Yeah. And I know why.
Yeah.
You know, because there are diets that have worked for specific things in the short term. So I see diets as more of a quick fix. Mm-hmm. You might need to get into your wedding dress. You might need to lower your blood pressure. You might need to lose some pounds quickly because it's having an effect on your heart, et cetera, et cetera. Or you might have an allergy or you have a skin condition that means you can't touch X, Y, Z. So I understand why we have specific and very studied ways of eating. But if you look back and if you look around the world, the kind of traditional way of eating was what grows around you, cooked.
Yeah.
And it's usually in some kind of soupy, stewy form. So I'm a massive fan of soups and stews. They're broken down, they're cooked, they're easy for you to access the nutrients, easy to digest. They're warming, they're soothing, they're comforting. You can feed a crowd. They're very economical. You can reheat them. You can store them. They're very hydrating. It's endless. But if you look around the different cultures, they're all slightly different. They'll use herbs and spices and different combinations depending on what influences they've had.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, I just need you to make me a stew. we've got time for one more question, and this is from Yeleni. And she says, does your partner have the same lifestyle as you? How do you do it?
So interesting. So I've been with Nick for 15 years.
Ah.
I know, 16 coming up.
Wow.
And we are definitely an influence on each other. He's one of the reasons that I started Hemsley & Hemsley all those years ago. When we met, we both had completely different ideas of how to eat, but we both loved food. And we have been on this journey of well-being together. And sometimes I'm a step ahead of him, if you want to call it ahead. And sometimes he's a step ahead of me. And sometimes I'm being a total cow and he's like, Jazz, you need to meditate. And I'm like,
you meditate.
You meditate. And then I'm like, oh, he's kind of right. And then I'll go and do it. So yeah, it's been great. And I recognize that that's what makes it easier when someone's supporting you. But what I would say as words of advice for anyone who feels like they're not in sync with their other half is just get into it yourself. Just enjoy the journey yourself. Make extra. If they want to eat it, they're welcome to eat it. And if they want to learn about it, they want to ask you questions about them, then just answer it.
Yeah.
But don't force it down anyone's throat. I've been there and done that. Honestly, there's times when I thought, oh, why are people drinking that? Do they have no idea? And it goes down well with some people and other people. I've just turned them, you know, I've just made them even more anti-well-being for another 3 years. So just let you be the example and you enjoy it yourself. And if you get it wrong, you got into this, you got into raw food, it didn't suit your stomach, or you decided this was the way to go and then you've gone off it. Just allow yourself. It's all part of the journey. Yeah. We're not here to get it right first time.
You do you.
You do you.
So what's next for you, Jasmine?
I am getting ready for my first Christmas in my new home.
Oh.
So I'm very excited. And then I'm off to India to do a bit more studying.
Amazing.
But before that, I've got another sound bath coming up. I am just, I'm going to use Christmas to really think about my coming years, because the last 10 years have been a whirlwind and I'm very blessed, but there's times that I've been reactive rather than proactive. So I'd like to think about what is going to suit me and what would I be happy with as the next steps of my life.
Okay. And where can people stay in touch with you if they want to?
I'm at Jasmine Hemsley, where you can see my rad fashion.
Yep.
And also hear about my sound baths and things. I've got a website called www.jasminehemsley.com. If you subscribe to that, you can see where I'm giving talks on Ayurveda, the little events I'm doing, and also what recipes I'm cooking up.
Amazing. Thank you so much for talking with
me
today.
Thank you for having me, Esther.
It has been so enlightening.
Oh, good. I love it. Thank
Bye.
You. Bye-bye.
As always, thank you so much for listening to another episode of On The Line. And don't forget to send your questions to youronetheline@gmail.com. Thank you to Jasmine, who was such an amazing guest. And please go follow her on Instagram. She's one of my fave accounts. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. And of course, tell your pals.
Hello?
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.